press record, ho. I hate it here. Welcome to Relative Pitch.
Why do you hate it here?
Anthony Heath Morris Jr.
Don't be saying my name out there like that, first of all.
Or otherwise known as LaChance Devereaux.
So we're putting aliases. Okay, Michael Shannon Brown Jr.
I put it on everything I have. What's up? What about it?
Now,
We're recording. See, what I'm not going to do is stoop to your level, because what I was going to say, I got to remember we have an audience.
Ooh. You do have an audience. That's correct.
Welcome back to Relative Pitch. Happy holiday. When is this? I don't know. Hey, y'all. I don't know when. It's been a long time. I don't know what to say.
It's been a minute. Yeah. I mean,
it's just so much that's happened. I don't even know. I don't know.
I just clicked the OK button because it said it was recording me.
So Michael hasn't slept since we last recorded in December, obviously.
Now, I was down bad, y'all. I was down bad in December. That was bad. It's okay, though.
You know, we had to take a break because I just felt like December, oh my gosh. We have a lot to talk about, because I'm thinking about the last time we were all together, which was the episode that came out last week, which was a wonderful collaboration with New Black Vanguard at Midwest, and that was great. But as I'm remembering that, the day after, all hell kind of broke loose in the composer and in the band world that next day. Like, we re-recorded that episode. And less than 12 hours later, we wake up to some very, I would say, just, it was kind of damning, kind of scary, actually. Rhetoric from a composer who, bless his heart.
I don't know if what he said was more damning or the reaction. For me, it was the reaction, like the people agreeing. That's what had me like, oh.
And the other part of that was the doubling down, the part 5, 6, 7, like the parts that came after it, saying, no, I stand up. But also the story switching and changing. Because right. At first it was like, I don't support DEI is the reason I'm broke. Now, he didn't say he was broke. That's an Anthony thing of me. Don't sue me. No. I'm saying this is what I took from it. Okay. This is how I put it in my brain. He did not say that. But he did allude to the fact that DEI could have been a cause for him and his pieces to not be performed in the years following 2019-ish. But then parts 5, 6, 7, and 8, it then changed and said, well, trends changed in those years and this led to that. And I didn't feel, you know, supported in this route. And so it was clear but hard to understand what was the cause. Because me personally, Anthony, speaking here, felt that the first part of what he said was the truth. That's really what he felt in his heart. Mm-hmm. But then with the reactions that came from many different sources, maybe some, you know, media trained, you know, let me try to also kind of be a bipartisanship situation, which I want to talk about that a little later today, is these people who try to remain in the middle. They try to do both sides, but we all know what side you're really on and how much more of a hindrance that is for you and for the people around you. But yeah.
Well, I saw it as I didn't even see it as like that's how he felt in his heart. And maybe he did feel that, and I love that for him. I saw it almost as trying to grab power back with the recent state of our political affairs. That's what I saw it as. And because what, and then the also thing, I have to go back and look at these posts because we, the people who know dropped him like it was a piece of Wonder Bread. The after the first day, we said, let me roast him on Facebook real quick and then let's drop him because we're not going to start his villain arc so he can start getting played again. First of all, write more than 12 pieces. Second of all, you chose the wrong years if you were trying to say DEI because you stopped getting played before the pandemic. And DEI really came into a play after the pandemic. So, facts and facts for America. And again, I'm going to say allegedly, let's save our podcast. Allegedly, that's how he felt. And allegedly, how I feel is you came for one of the friends of the pod, and the pod strikes back, bitch.
What was so interesting about there's so many things in this to unpack that I think are their own like little spirals, but him pointing out that he feels as if DEI is what caused him to stop having a career within composition is really interesting because most of the responses that people have that were very, very, very like level-headed where just like there are many reasons as to why a single composer may not have success in the composition field, just like there's many reasons why someone in any field may not have success in that field. There are various factors. For him, he wasn't a great composer. So let's start with there. Lauren, fact number one. Lauren, because I'm so, y'all, I'm so sick of people who are like, I didn't get this opportunity. DEI took this away. You weren't good in the first place. We wouldn't be having to have these conversations with you if you admitted what you lacked. So that's the first thing that I think everyone was trying to be very sensitive to this specific individual who was using every single thing that he could to say, well, I think about me like this and think about I'm underrepresented in these ways and these ways and these ways. Even if we were to think from that perspective, there's still multiple factors as to why he was not finding success that he himself pointed out in a very detailed, kind of insane, kind of unhinged Facebook like rant. And the truth is, I read a majority of it as it was happening. It was very fresh. I wanted to keep up with what was going on, but like Mike was saying, I didn't want to give more attention to it. I think that when people like this, and it's going to happen a lot more because of what just happened politically and the change of the shift of like the federal government, more people are going to be popping out like this because right now the trend is conservative, right? The trend is like leaning super heavily like that in all aspects, pop culture, everything. So people are going to feel more comfortable and confident blaming DEI, blaming anyone who is like on the outside, quote unquote, who is getting op who they see as on the outside getting opportunities over them, and they consider themselves, I guess, like the majority, the person who's getting looked over. But I guess in a way, you can now consider yourself a minority. Like, let's t like, how do we? It's just, it must be so tiring. It must be so tiring. I don't know.
So tiring to fight to be a DEI person, you know, like, or rather fighting for oppression. That's really what I have been seeing a lot lately is people fighting to be oppressed. And it's always in a response to somebody who usually is in a position of oppression, but the argument is, well, I have also have been placed in a bad spot, and I have overcome this and I've overcome that. And so what you got going on isn't that big because I have my own struggles. What are your struggles? Let me know.
Starbucks made their drink wrong.
At
Right.
Starbucks. Yeah. Like that is your struggle. And not to demean anybody's, rightful things that they have going on. I mean, the thing is, everybody has issues. Everybody has life, and life is hard, and things go on. But there's a difference between systematic oppression and you being a crybaby. You feeling some type of way because you didn't get your way. Because people that are systemically oppressed, the world is never on their side. The world is never going to see it from their perspective. You just happen to wake up with the covers off of you, and now you feel like the world is out to get you. There's a difference between that.
Well, you just pointed out something major that I think was what the people who were trying to actively have a conversation with him in the comments were trying to point to him, and then he kept combating with the other. So, systemic oppression, it points to there is a system in which individuals and groups, organizations exist within, and there is a system that is the typical nature of this system. You as an individual exist within this system, right? That means that the majority of people who are of a certain like background perspective, with we are all humans varying things, may, for the most part, we operate within the system. There are outliers. There's a spectrum. We are a spectrum. This particular individual kept trying to take a very individualistic stance within a systemic issue, in the sense that he was completely, and I'm sure probably still is, disregarding that there are many people within this system who are individuals who have been like hurt and oppressed by this system, and not holding space for the fact that even a person who may should be at advantage within a system of oppression, like may also experience certain oppressions in the other ways, but those are not systemic. You like certain things happening to you as an individual is a situational thing versus a systemic awareness and pattern that is easily seen because of various factors. And I think that was my point of frustration with that conversation. Anytime someone tried to say DEI, whatever, all these things that were created during the time pandemic, pre whatever, were made to address systemic issues that were hopefully would trickle down to start positively affecting individuals, right? He was using that this system that is supposed to help the betterment of other people, and in a way, meaning spreading the whatever, the good that was going to only a very certain specific group of people to everyone. That is equity. That is the E. For everyone who doesn't know what DEI is at this point, that is the E of DEI, right? And he just kept going back to, but me, what about me within this? That's not the fucking conversation.
No.
It's not what, that is not what we're trying to, I'm so sorry. This is not the point of the conversation. And he just kept bringing it back to himself. And that, I think, Anthony, you just said that. He kept trying to pull out, well, me, but this is what I went through. And so it's more than what you're going through and everything. We're
Yes.
never going to get anywhere with that.
And also, I just would have to say this. In the world that we live in, especially in the music world, if you are a white person, the door is open for you to do whatever you please to do.
Especially if you got tenure.
If you have tenure, or, ooh, it's about to get real. If you have some of the top people in this profession play your music multiple times and you still didn't turn a profit, let me
That's on you at that point.
sit in. And also, let's talk about the difference between white mediocrity and somebody that actually is doing something. Because here's the thing, white mediocrity in this sense that we are speaking about, is a person who I'm going to write music in a niche. It is going to be some of the hardest things that only certain ensembles can actually play. So guess what? You have now pigeonholed yourself into a niche where only top ensembles can actually do it. Now, let's take another composer who knows if this is my livelihood, then I need to consistently and constantly be writing things for all levels. Because we all know right here, if you want to make money as a composer, you need to start writing younger band music because those are the people that are going to buy the music, play the music over and over. Look at some of these young band composers for middle and high school. That's who's getting paid. Because he mentioned, I believe he mentioned, but friend to the pod, Kevin Day, who we love. Kevin Day, first of all, Kevin will be set for life with Rocket Ship and Rocket Ship alone. Because how many middle and high school bands will play that? Because it is a showstopper. Rocket Ship and Rocket Ship alone. Kevin is a fabulous composer of many genres, many varieties, but Rocket Ship alone will be it. And I can say this from firsthand because, baby, Mr. Kevin Day, whenever we are together, oh, it's a check. And he's like, oh yeah, it's good. So I know that from a fact. So
It
what I'm
cares.
saying is that you have to be a realist about your career as well. And you cannot sit here because you feel some type of way, you feel sad, and now you want to blame all your personal issues on something that I don't even know if you completely understand what it is. I don't think this young man actually understood what DEI is
No.
and how it affects and who it affects and why did it just happen in 2020 when I believe Free But Equal started in 1865, Free But Equal, and then 1963 was, oh, I guess we are kind of now together and integrated, so we all get the same human rights. But those rights were never equal for anybody. It was never equitable for anybody. So in 2020, when we finally have some type of things to say, okay, we really need something to change, it affects you. And it affects you for the worse because you're like, wow, they might get a better chance than I will. But instead, maybe I should work harder. I'm going to rely back on my white fragility and my white mediocrity. And also, because you heard that it hurt me so bad, I'm going to just leave music in 2021 or whatever, and then I'll resurface at the biggest international band and orchestra clinic in 2024 after 3 years of being gone and tell the whole world why I left. Honey, nobody damn remembered you in the first place. Okay?
Here's the thing. If you choose to leave, leave. And then if you choose to come back, you can come back. But if you choose to leave, leave. Well, and here's the problem where I have when people choose to leave the profession. And you can choose to leave the profession in multiple different ways, anyway, whatever you do, I don't care. But we are as specialized as doctors, lawyers, other things. A lot of people work so hard for the craft. We don't have nearly the same paycheck. So when you have people half in and half out, it just is not okay taking up that much space for the people who want to be all the way in. If you leave because you want to make more money, okay, bye. Go make the more money. Hey, baby, if you got to do it for your family, do it for your family. If you personally just need it to personally just want that much money, I love that for you. But don't you dare take the space that young people are dying for, that these college kids are wanting to take this space, but you're always called. And they would never get a chance to get called because you're always called, even though you do an X, Y, Z in the third. Like, that's just been something like for me, like, why would I go out and just like take as much stuff as I want? That's not jealousy. That's just like selfishness. Like, I don't need every church gig around my area all the time, forever and ever. Amen. Baby, I got my full-time job. I got my ROPA job. I got my private students. I got my schools I work in. If I can't live off that, baby, I don't know how to spend money. I love spending.
Michael, you bring up a great point because shout out to Cynthia Erivo. I don't know if y'all have seen this clip, but obviously, if you don't know Cynthia Erivo, she played Elphaba in the recent Wicked. Lovely, wonderful artist. But she was asked on the red carpet, would you reprise your role as Elphaba in Wicked the musical when it comes back to Broadway? And she said, no, I think that is selfish. I want to make room for somebody else to take on that role. That is how it should be. And I think it's one of those things, especially when you are of a minority status, about I want to open the door for somebody to come in after me. Actually, multiple people to come in to bring you up with me. Let's all take up our space. And I don't see that happening. And what I'm worried about is in the next 4 years, the decrease of that. Like, I felt like we were making progress. It was small progress, but it was progress. And now it's like we're back where we started. Before we started this episode, I said, y'all, we started this podcast in the last of DJT's presidency. And now we're back. 4 years later. Well, 5 years later. And it's oddly the same, but oddly worse now because so many people are empowered by some very dangerous rhetoric. And I brought up being a bi trying to be bipartisan in today's world. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. Because on one side of the aisle is saying, I don't like you as a human being. I want you away from my existence in many forms, many fashions. I don't care who you think you are. I don't care where you live or come from, how long you've been here. I don't like your existence. I want you to leave. That's a dangerous road to start on in the first week of a presidency. And people are applauding, empowering, and saying, keep it going. And this, the people that are like, oh, I love America. I love America. And I support is ever in the president's seat. That is a harmful thing to say, especially when you are of a flavor that that president is trying to take out of this country. The time of, oh, I see economic value, but I don't agree socially. That's the world that we live in is social.
It is.
Also, you are correct. The world that we live in is economical, but and the thing is, I don't know if y'all saw this, but the poor is just getting poor. And I don't know about many of you who are listening right now, but I don't know if y'all are millionaires.
Oops. I'm
I mean,
not.
if you is, please donate. I'll drop the links below. You know, but for most of us, we don't even make it to that arena to get those luxuries. So really, what is it?
It's been so disgusting, even in this past week since the inauguration, to see how much, like, they're just trying to push back that was done for the last 4 years. Which, here's the thing, more should have been done over the last 4 years. We, as citizens, should always be pushing the people who we elect, or for some of y'all didn't elect, to do better, no matter if it is the person you chose to be in office or not, right? But what we are now seeing is this, just like, great, this was taken, there just lots of throwing out, lots of putting in, and it just it's more and more restrictions. All of what is about to happen is just a complete insanity of, like, individualist restrictions versus, like, corporations, all those things. It's gonna be a field day. It's gonna be crazy. That's just how we know how it's gonna go, because it already happened. It's gonna happen again. I am at the point with this where this is a signal, right? And there's not only within the fact that he got elected again, but within a lot of, like, what's happening socially, culturally, pop culturally, of, like, these kinds of conversations, like we're talking about with this composer. This is starting to pop up a lot. Now people feel very safe to say, yeah, we hate DEI. These companies couldn't wait to fire their DEI employees, to take their Black Lives Matter, like, mission down from their websites. They could not wait to do it. And now they have an excuse to do that. Here's the truth, though. You don't need DEI, the symbol, the thing, if you actually just had equitable hiring practices and just practices in general within your organizations, or equitable, like, your education system was equitable, all these things. And by that does not mean you are taking away from someone else. All that means is I'm gonna be intentional with making sure that the hiring pool is a really balanced hiring pool. And then from this, all these candidates who are from similar, not similar, but different backgrounds, I can base that just off of, well, who do I think really fits the best in with this job? Who do I think is going to come in and do that? Because when people, I used to get that question so often, like, if it was between, like, a Black woman or a white man and everything, and, like, they were the equal, blah, 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 or they were just all the scenario game and everything. I'm like, well, who's the best for the job? Who's best for the job? The issue isn't that you pick someone good for the job. The issue is that you start off and the pool all looks the same. If you have a room of only white men and you say, I'm gonna hire the best person in this room, a white man is getting that job. Now, if you put the room and it's like all these different people and everything, blah, 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 and then you're like, throughout all these people, we picked someone who we thought would be the best. Or if you are a company and you're like, we see that there is an imbalance within, like, our current, like, who is here now, and we want to be very intentional of bringing in a newer perspective. We already have these perspectives here. We want to bring in a new one. There's nothing wrong with that. You want diversity is not a, first of all, diversity is a revolving door. It is just, who are you allowing into that door? It is just revolve. It's constant evolution. The equity part is your intention behind who is coming in that door. That is where your work is. I'm sick of hearing DEI. I'm at the point, actually,
It has been
where I don't want to hear
everywhere.
it.
I'm with you. It's become a disgusting term, and it's not its original definition that is now discussed. It's how people have weaponized that word to mean something ugly,
Right.
which has come from the conservative side of things.
Right.
because they use it as if it's like a free ticket to anywhere. And it was never, ever meant that way. Because let's be honest, people that would be in considered in DEI would never have a free ticket to anywhere in the world. It was a tool used for people to be included in these decisions, to be included in these rooms, to be put at tables so that you could create this area where diverse learning and diverse voices are heard, and stopping this stereotype and this kind of the same that it's been for hundreds of years. We know what it was. It was plain, it was simple, it was boring, it's tired. But that's because only one person ruled the world. And so until after, 2020, it was like, well, there's many other people who belong to be speaking to break up this monotony that we have been dealing with. And it's just funny because, as we're progressing in time, more and more people are becoming so interwoven between each other. Like, I look at some of my students, I'm like, I fear for you. I fear for you. And I'm also sorry that this is the world that you have to maneuver in. And I'm sure, I don't know this, but maybe the generation before said the same thing about us. I don't know. But the way the world is now, and I just want to say this, I have two things to say about teachers because y'all are pissing me off. The first thing is, there were so many teachers who didn't vote. And so many teachers teach students that needed them to vote. And the only thing you ever hear from teachers is, I always want what's best for my students. But either you didn't vote or you voted for someone who is now taking away their rights when they aren't even at a legal age to even know they had them in the first place.
Literally.
So, teachers, if that's what you want to call yourself,
Oof.
you got to do better. You have to do better. Because if you're a teacher, you're thinking about how can I inspire, how can I educate, and how can I protect the next generation from all the pit failures that has happened in history. And you had one job and you didn't do that. So now when your students are coming to you saying the things that they have to go through and live through when they go home, because they still see you as being a savior, you are nobody's savior. You should look that child in their eye and say, I don't care about you, because that is what you said already. And to the teachers or the people who are in teaching facilities, I should say, to the teacher in Fort Worth that made that comment about, or the comment under an ICE posting about, you should come to this high school and deport all of these students because they cannot speak English in high school. And you should reform the entire education system anyway. Shame on you. Shame on you. And then in the last part of that, you say, I don't talk to any of my colleagues because they're all liberals. So I only talk to the students. Well, guess what? Those students who you just said should be all deported, children under the age of 18, they have no rhyme or reason to be even brought up, but you brought them up and you put them in harm's way. You need your teaching certificate revoked. You should not be a teacher. If you feel that way, you should not be in charge of any child.
Any choice. Well, and here's another thing. This is just a recent thing. This a week of the day in the life of Michael. Couple things. If you get ran out of a state for charges and you still working at a place with children, you should probably look at yourself. Also, the county that I'm mentioning, you need to get a better background check, baby. Because at this rate, I bet Hannibal Lecter could pass that background check.
Girl, not Hannibal.
Hannibal Lecter.
Literally, Freddy Krueger could probably pass it. But
Girl.
that's one thing, first of all. Second of all, I think if someone is tanking their job so bad that every other person in their cluster sees it and the students see it, normalize getting fired. Because, baby, at what point are you a detriment to students that want to learn? And you're just sitting there in your office for four periods, six periods, seven periods. On your phone, doing nothing. But why are you teaching? Leave. Get out, as many people do. Baby, go work at Geico. They sit on their phones all day. Shoot, go to Verizon. They be sitting on their phones all day too. I love it. Go Verizon. They get new phones too. Those were just near and dear to my heart tonight. Also, I think we as a society need to be more respectful to people. Like, if you know someone's name, say it correctly. And if you don't know how to say their name, it's a question. I literally did that last week when I called in my first role for my music appreciation class. I said, "Person, I don't want to butcher your name in front of everybody and cause anybody to laugh. Can you please say your name for me?" Like, normalize, like, can we just be nicer people?
You really say person?
I did say person because I didn't know their pronouns.
That's crazy.
I said person, and I person, and
Crazy.
I highlighted the name on the board. I said Pearson, highlight.
So young educators, please do not take advice
Don't,
from
please don't do
Michael.
that. Don't, please don't.
What's wrong with
Oh.
this person?
Go
As
for the
time,
last name. Just say the last name. I'm
baby,
just.
I couldn't say neither.
Try. The first, here's the thing. For the first time, try. And then go, can you let me know if I mispronounce that and everything? And then
I
it's
couldn't even
okay
sound.
to follow up.
I couldn't even sound it
Actually,
out.
I'm okay. I'm glad Michael didn't, because Michael would have said that name and probably with a very country hick accent, and then I would have felt microaggressed.
Why does it always get on Michael? I thought I did something good. Okay, you know what?
I'm just like, you dead. You dead. You dead. You dead.
I'm trying to find the name right now.
No.
Let's not.
It's okay.
Let's not.
It's okay.
This is for post.
This is,
Okay.
first of all, honestly, you were, you see, white men, they try to double down when they're wrong. They try to double down.
I ain't doubling down. Now. I was gonna say something. Anthony, you need to be nicer. Remember, I just said the speech. Be nicer, people.
Oh, and by the way, I have to say this every damn season because I'm sick of this. I'm sick of it. Why every time we are together, when we're out in like real life and people
Right.
come up to us, and the first thing they say is like, y'all are mean to Michael. And actually, no. Here's really what happens. The perception is that we are mean to Michael. And then they'll see how Michael is when the camera is off and we're just hanging around. And then they'll lean over and say, okay, I get it. I get
Right.
it. And so I'm like, boom.
Michael is, why is he calling me?
Ooh.
This is what I mean. This insanity. What, Shirley Ann?
Anthony that he's being rude and mean, and that people are going to continue to hate him for being rude and mean because he needs to be a nicer person.
Okay, so what I was going to say is that Michael is a menace to society, and y'all don't get to see this the
No.
way we do. And so when we turn the cameras on, and we may be fed
Now
up
what
with
y'all
it.
ain't gonna do is keep talking about me like this, because I am not a menace to society. First, and you're muted. And I'm some of the nicest people you are ever gonna see, because guess what? You can't mute me, baby. You can't mute
I
beautiful. Okay.
actually can mute you, and I
Oh,
just
and guess what? Unmuted.
Dude, we just gonna mute
Unmuted.
you.
I can't believe it. He said
We
you
gonna
can't
keep playing
unmute
this game. But
beautiful.
no, I'm so serious, because I just wanted to say this once again, now that we've come back and we're together.
I'm just saying, I'm probably gonna get some good reviews this weekend at GMEA because y'all are mean to me.
But
I am the redheaded stepchild of this podcast. Y'all just be belittling me and being mean to
you
me
might
and
be redheaded. You're the only white person on the
it's crazy.
podcast. Now stay
First of all,
there.
I ain't got no hair, so I can't be redheaded.
We all know you bald.
You prefer the word shaved?
Oh, well, I can't say that. Never mind.
See, okay, tell me how I am this bad. First of all, I don't
Michael
say
has
nothing, I don't say
literally,
nothing bad to y'all.
Michael has literally called us just to say some very not nice things to us.
I don't have any receipts, so
Oh, where's your
I could
receipt?
say something right now and ruin your entire career.
And baby, double down and join the
Yeah.
other side. Don't
The thing about it is, I feel like that is true between y'all. And then what you just on camera notice of Michael then calling me to mediate, and then now it's my issue. That is what actually happens. There is something goes on. Michael feels attacked. He comes over
Because
here.
there is no feel. This ain't no it. I don't feel this way. It is this
Right?
way. Yeah, so if you were wondering, there you go.
I think we need to end. Oh.
You good?
All right. Well, you know what? I hope y'all have a good week. Obviously, we cannot film at night anymore. It's too loose. It's too loose.
It's too loose.
I think we should bring about a new series.
Oh, Jesus.
After hours.
We're gonna need a team of lawyers, is what we're gonna
Ooh.
need. And my
Ooh,
allegedly button from Wendy Williams.
I did just get done watching Suits, so I could be a fake one.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well,
This is why.
everybody, thank you for listening. We're
I
back.
don't hate it here. I just highly dislike it sometimes.
Spoken like a real
Oh.
white
To
man.
your union rep in HR. That's only people who care.
I
Anyways,
will.
y'all have a good time. We'll see y'all later
Bye.
time. Bye.